This is episode 86 of IDRA Class Notes.
Things like the word rigor and the phrase high expectations have always been thrown around in education, but we all have a different explanation of what that means. So we've tried to get to a point where we share a common frame of reference for what we mean in our organization relative to college readiness, what academic rigor is and what it is not, and what high academic expectations are and what they are not. And we've been able to check our beliefs at the door and our understandings of what those things mean. And it's a professional learning community that is required in order for us to move forward in this work.
Pleasure of working diligently with this central ISD superintendent, assistant superintendent, and director of curriculum and instruction, as well as administrative staff and team of teachers at East Central High School. With us this afternoon, we have Mr. Roland Toscano, principal of East Central High School, who will share his experience and expertise in the development of a college-going culture and students' preparation for college. Can you, Mr. Toscano, briefly describe your school?
Sure. East Central High School is in a suburban community. It's growing, and it's at about 2,700 students. It's a large 5A high school. And in the last 10 years, we've seen a shift in our student demographics. Primarily, we've become a minority majority. We have seen that our white population and our Hispanic population have shifted. Mm-hmm. They flipped.
Okay.
And so we're at about 60% Hispanic students and about 30% Caucasian, and in the last 10 years, as I said, that's flipped. And our African-American population is about 10% and has maintained that percentage as long as I can remember. So, but we are also about 65% free and reduced.
Very good. Can you tell us how have you been able to create a college-going culture at your school?
Well, creating a college-going culture has been a huge challenge. But we've realized that we've got to have some serious relationships. We've got to have some serious relationships with higher ed entities, and we've had to develop some serious relationships with our community. And that there's been an education on both ends. We've needed to be educated by higher ed systems and the way that they run and the expectations of us. And we've had to build firm partnerships in that regard. But at the same time, we've had to educate our community and establish really, really effective lines of communication. So that they too could become aware of expectations for their students, opportunities for their students, and then of course our faculty and what we need to do for our students and for our families, but as well as for higher ed systems, you know, so that we can bridge gaps on both ends. So it's been a huge challenge, but you know, above all, at East Central High School, we were fortunate enough to receive a grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation about 7 years ago, which allowed us to bring in an early college high school program. And that partnership was with UTSA, and they gave us a liaison, which is yourself, actually,
okay.
Dr. Nilka Aviles. And that liaison then really helped educate our system and really helped us gain access to a lot of what the University of Texas San Antonio would be able to offer our students. And you know, really, without that partnership, I don't know that, and without your work with us, I don't know that we would be in the place where we are right now with the capacity being built to expand those opportunities for all of our students. And that's kind of where we're at now. We're growing beyond just a small cohort of students, 400 students of 2,700 being given that opportunity. Now, well, we're moving those opportunities to all 2,700 students, intentionally, organizationally, and that's kind of how we've done it and how we continue to do it. We're still learning, a lot of trial and error, a lot of frustration and a lot of excitement, but we're persisting
on
behalf
great.
Of our students.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear that. What steps are you taking to continue to foster and promote college readiness at your school?
Well, we certainly need to become more aware of what college readiness means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like the word rigor and the phrase high expectations have always been thrown around in education, but we all have a different explanation of what that means, or it means something different to all of us.
Right.
And so we've tried to get to a point where we share a common frame of reference for what we mean in our organization relative to college readiness, what academic rigor is and what it is not, and what high academic expectations are and what they are not. And we find ourselves realizing that in more often than not cases, it's exclusionary,
mm-hmm.
it's punishing, it's deficit thinking,
mm-hmm.
and we've been able to check our beliefs at the door and our understandings of what those things mean and begin to build a common understanding of what it means to be academically rigorous and what our students need to be prepared for academically in terms of content and habits of mind. We've done that collaboratively. We're organized. You know, Rick DeFore's work has been a huge influence on us. Mike Smoker's work has been a huge influence on us in terms of the way we organize to do our work,
mm-hmm.
collaboratively, not in isolation, obviously.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we build capacity from within in that way. Teams of teachers kind of work together to really, really talk openly and honestly about the impact of their decisions relative to curriculum and ultimately instruction and assessment and student outcomes. And if they're really getting the intended outcomes and what in their work and the decisions they're making in terms of instruction and in terms of curriculum-based decisions and even assessment are inhibiting our students from reaching those outcomes. So it's a professional learning community, definitely, that is required in order for us to move forward in this work.
That's exactly right. I'm glad that you're actually doing it that way because that's what's necessary. How do you involve the parents and community at large to support your school efforts in preparing students to become college ready?
Yeah, certainly communication is huge. You know, having it, you know, we learned from the partnership with the UTSA that you have to have regularly scheduled evenings where you invite parents with their students to come to the school to talk about upcoming events, upcoming deadlines, explain what we're doing and why. And answer any questions that they may have. There's a lot of misconceptions out there, and if you rely on the grapevine, you know, you're going to have a lot of misinformation out there. And then ultimately, it's our system that is not effectively communicating when that happens. And so that on one hand has been the most significant way to involve the parents. But we also realize that the way schools have always been organized, including ours, is that they're not always, when they come to school, they don't feel welcome. It is somewhat like a prison, you know, with safety considerations. Parents don't feel like they have open access to our system and to be a partner in the process. And so we've tried to address that and the message that we're communicating through our security measures, mm-hmm. that we're making sure we're giving access and open access and that they know that they're partners in the process. But that's intentional and that's a work in progress, mm-hmm. definitely.
And I know that as far as when I was there, actually, you had a great community, and they really were involved, and they did ask questions, and they learned, you know, the college lingo that was necessary so that they can support their students. So that's huge, and I know that it was something that you were actually working on and working with that very well.
You know, Nilka, we've always resisted doing that in the past because we fear that they're going to be upset or question or not agree with things we're doing, when in reality we have found that when you give them opportunities, they actually have a lot of insight and they're way more supportive than we thought, and that they're more willing to partner and actually have a burning desire to partner on behalf of the education of their students, regardless of their socioeconomic status and their ethnicity. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They all want the best for their kids, and they want to do whatever they can do to help the school provide that for their kids.
Exactly.
And so we've learned a lot of positive lessons from doing it that way.
What plan do you have in place to ensure that all of your students are successful as they become prepared to meet the demands of our 21st century?
Yeah, that's a hot topic. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody seems to think, you know, they throw the 24, you know, we need to prepare kids for the 21st century. And again, kind of like the idea of academic high expectations and academic rigor, there's a lot of misconceptions or differing opinions about what that means. The first thing people think about with 21st century readiness is technology. We need to bring technology in so it'll save us. But the reality of it is, it's habits of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's habits of mind that kids have always needed to be career ready, college ready, mm-hmm. society ready. Tony Wagner says jury ready, and I love that description.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea to read and to write and to communicate orally, critically, you know, in doing so collaboratively, working with a wide range of different personalities,
mm-hmm.
and to begin to develop those kinds of characteristics as a learner and as a person, that if we're not providing those kinds of opportunities for kids as really what those should be our standards, that when kids leave our school system, we're at the place where we're having discussions about we should be using our curriculum as the context to teach students these habits of mind,
mm-hmm.
these 21st century skills of critical reading, critical writing, or the ability to communicate orally, take a position based on many different pieces of literature and assimilate that into your point of view, mm-hmm. and use that to support your point of view and your position orally and in writing, and do so collaboratively. Those should really be the standards we're measuring, but we use our content and our curriculum as the context to do that. But we've got it the opposite way around. We're so stuck on the content being our standard that we lose sight of all these critical thinking skills that they need, and these ideas of being inquisitive and curious and questioning and advocating for themselves as learners. And, you know, we lose sight of all those things, and then we wonder why they can't do that, why they have high GPAs, but yet they can't. They go to college and 47% are not ready, mm-hmm. even the highest achieving high school students. Because we're teaching the wrong thing. We're focusing on the wrong thing. In our opinion, mm-hmm. we're learning.
Exactly.
In our opinion, that seems to be the case.
Right. That's so true. How do you support your teachers, administrators, and staff to ensure they continue to promote and help students thrive in meeting graduation and college readiness standards that the state has put forth?
It's ongoing staff and professional development. I mean, it's awareness. I mean, it's absolutely awareness. You know, educators, when they're given the opportunity to become aware, they're open to other possibilities. They really are. They want to do a great job, but they only have their limited frame of reference based on their experiences. And if you provide them other possibilities, other ideas, other resources, they'll adapt them into their practice and into their belief systems. So definitely ongoing professional development, ongoing professional support.
Very good. As you reflect and comparing previous years to the recent years, what are some of the outcomes that we should feature that demonstrate that students are moving forward into the college preparation and college readiness, especially for the traditionally underserved and underrepresented students,
sure.
in higher education?
Yeah, you know, there's always been a pervasive belief in our system, like all public education systems, that, you know, that our responsibility is to provide the opportunity to learn. We're going to provide the information you need to know, but you need to do your part to learn. It's up to you to essentially learn it. We're going to cover it. We're going to present it. We're going to give you the opportunity, but you got to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of it is a lot of kids were left behind, especially mm-hmm. those underserved, who didn't have parents to advocate for them, who didn't advocate for themselves, who didn't understand school systems and what they should be providing their students. And so early college partnership allowed us to target a group of students who were traditionally underserved and underrepresented. And over a four-year period, the initial cohort, we found, actually achieved on standardized test scores and college readiness assessments as well as and better than our highest achieving students on campus. And so that gave everybody an aha realization that given access to high-quality curriculum, the best we got, the best teachers we got, support systems, and good communication and education for parents about the higher ed, you know, system and what they need to do to give their kid the opportunity, and that there is access, even if you can't afford it or don't think you can, mm-hmm. they can achieve. And because of that, there's an open-mindedness in our system to any possibility that could be considered an option to give more access to more students, regardless of their ethnicity or socioeconomic status. And when a student's not successful, there's a greater willingness to stop and reflect for a minute before we point blame at the student's lack of, or the parent's lack of, or our lack of curriculum, or our lack of money, or our lack of support. Mm-hmm. You know, we realize that there's a lot we can control.
Exactly.
In terms of access to curriculum, good teaching, good support systems, and there's a lot we can do to educate and inform. And that if we do those things, very few kids are left behind, and that actually most kids exceed their own expectations and ours. And so from a cultural standpoint, that's kind of where we're at I can't point my finger on anything more directly than the early college partnership that's helped our culture in our high school shift its mindset in that direction. And so that's kind of where we are now. If I was summarizing where we were and where we are now, that's where we are now because of that partnership with early college. And definitely where we were was very traditional and typical in secondary schools. Certainly high schools in our neck of the woods, I know for sure.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for your time. We are giving you The Courage to Connect, which is one of our publications, so that you can actually use it with your administrators, with your staff, is a great resource. It has great articles that I know is going to even move your school even further. And your students are really lucky to have the type of leadership that you provide. And I also want to thank you personally for the collaboration that you had when I was actually at UTSA helping with the early college high school program. I know it was very effective, and I know that you're going to continue that trend. So thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for the book and this opportunity to visit with you today. And thank you so much for several years of wonderful professional development that you provided me personally, but certainly our school system. It's definitely has left a lasting impact. And so I want to thank you for that, definitely.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org.